Our first reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Listen to these words. Now the boy Samuel was serving the Lord under Eli. The Lord's word was rare at that time, and visions weren't widely known. And one day Eli, whose eyes had grown so weak that he was unable to see, was lying down in his room. And God's lamp hadn't gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's chest was. And the Lord called to Samuel. "I'm here," he said. Samuel hurried to Eli and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go lie down." So he did. And again, the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me." "I didn't call, my son," Eli replied. "Go and lie down." Now, Samuel didn't yet know the Lord, and the Lord's word hadn't yet been revealed to him. And a third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up, went to Eli, and said, "I'm here. You called me?" Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy, and so Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down where he'd been. And then the Lord came and stood there calling just as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of all who hear it tingle. On that day I will bring to pass against Eli everything I said about his household, every last bit of it. I told him that I would punish his family forever because of the wrongdoing he knew about how his sons were cursing God. But he wouldn't stop them. Because of that, I swore about Eli's household that his family's wrongdoing will never be reconciled by sacrifice or by offering." And Samuel lay there until morning and then opened the doors of the Lord's house. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called to Samuel, saying, "Samuel, my son." "I'm here," Samuel said. "What did he say to you?" Eli asked. "Don't hide anything from me. May God deal harshly with you, and worse, if you hide from me a single word from everything he said to you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. "He is the Lord," Eli said. "He will do as he pleases." Our second reading comes from Mark chapter 2 and 3. Listen to these words. Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath, and as the disciples made their way, they were picking the heads of wheat. And the Pharisee said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the Sabbath law?" And he said to them, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need, when he and those who were with him were hungry? During the time when Abiathar was high priest, David went into God's house and ate the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. And he also gave bread to those who were with him." And then Jesus said, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. This is why the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath." And Jesus returned to the synagogue, and a man with a withered hand was there, and wanting to bring charges against Jesus, they were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Step up where people can see you." Then he said to them, "Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they said nothing. And looking around at them with anger, deeply grieved at their unyielding hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So So he did. And his hand was made healthy. At that, the Pharisees got together with the supporters of Herod to plan how to destroy Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Every now and then, after doing some of these scripture readings, when I say this is the word of the Lord, and you also thanks be to God, you all respond with the thanks be to God. I always want to look at there's sometimes I want to be like, really? Really? Are we thankful for these stories today? I mean, these are not easy stories, really. The Samuel one we often cut off. You know, we just get to that, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening, and then we stop. In fact, the lectionary does stop it right there. It then gives you the rest of it in parentheses, just in case you want to go down that path. Which today I do, but oftentimes I don't. Because we just want to think of the boy, Samuel, and he's listening to God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? What a great story. Not that whole part about, well, Eli's house is going to be cursed for forever, and, oh, by the way, boy Samuel, you tell him. And then we have this story about the man with the withered hand, which often we just lump into the healing stories, but in this one, Jesus is, like, provoking people. He specifically says to this guy, all right, you stand up right there. Okay, you see him? Can I heal him? I'm going to do it anyway. Knowing that they are going to use it against him. These are not necessarily easy stories. Because, as we know, we are, as Christians, supposed to figure out how we would fit into these stories. How would we respond to these calls from God? Because that's what these are. These are call stories. We often think of call stories as these, you know, we think of Isaiah from last week where, Here I am, Lord, send me, or Samuel, or the disciples being called. But these are call stories. This one about the Pharisees. Jesus is calling on them to respond to what their faith has told them, and they stand there stone silent because they are so wrapped up in their own agendas, they can't respond to what Jesus is doing, even though they know that what he just said about David is true, even though they know that you're allowed to save an ox that falls into a ditch on the Sabbath. They know these things. And Jesus is calling to them to respond to it, but they are so caught up in their own world that they stand silent, and Jesus is angry. And I can just see him saying to that man, you're healed, and then just leaving that synagogue in disgust. And then there's Samuel, who is also confronted with some hard truths in this story. Remember, he is the boy Samuel. Before 13, he's not a man yet. So he has to at least be not a teenager. He is a young boy, and Eli is his guardian, his teacher, his parent, for all that matters. And here God is saying, by the way, for the first time that I've ever spoken to you, by the way, please tell Samuel that calamity is, or Eli, that calamity is about to befall his house because he didn't do the stuff I told him to do. The first time I ever heard God speaking to me that I can really think, it was, you know, hey, Colin, you might want to think about going to seminary. Not, hey, Colin, go tell your dad I'm going to smash everything. I don't know how I would have responded if it had been the first way or the second way. But Samuel goes about his business that morning. I imagine probably tiptoeing around, letting Eli sleep in a little that morning so he didn't have to quite get to it. And Eli calls to Samuel in the same way that God did. And Samuel responds in the same way he responded to God, "I'm here." And then he tells Eli everything. I would have tried to sugarcoat it. I mean, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And so I would think if you know, when I feel called to maybe correct someone, Blair says I'm the soft-hearted one in the family, especially when it comes to correcting, like, the kids. But, you know, I want to, you know, get that. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Well, Eli, yeah, God did talk to me, and we had a wonderful conversation. And, yeah, so I'm being called, and he's going to do some stuff. And, oh, yeah, by the way, your family's going to get crushed. Forever. Do you want me to go light the candle again? I don't know if I could respond to that. I kind of think in these stories, I'd be in the Pharisees' position, not saying anything. I don't want to start a conflict right here in the middle of church. I don't want to rock the boat too terribly much. I want to keep the peace. I don't want to do anything that's going to cause the Pharisees and the Herodians to mix together, because those people hate each other, and if they're against me, then I've really done something wrong. Or something right in this particular case. And I have to wonder if maybe there wasn't some Pharisee who was sitting there going, "He might be right, guys." But he didn't say anything because everybody else around him was being stone silent. And how are we going to respond when God calls us to do something? How are we going to respond when God speaks to us and gives us something hard to tell somebody or to tell the world or something difficult to do that is just not the way things are supposed to be done? How will we respond to that? Would we do it? Would we be like Samuel? Or would we be like the Pharisees and just stand there silently and hope that maybe this will just pass by and the question will just go away? Maybe the man with the withered hand will be uncomfortable about being stood up in front of everyone and just leave, and the whole situation will be diffused. Or will we remember what Eli says? He's the Lord and he'll do what he wants. Because ultimately, that is the response. He is the Lord, and he'll do what he wants. What are you going to do? Are you going to go with him? You going to ignore him? You going to actively plot against him? I don't know. And sometimes that's the hardest part about reading yourself into these stories is I don't know what I would do. I always think about friends in mission that have heard that God's call to go off to some foreign country and do so, or to go off to some place and because God called them. And all I could think of is, okay, but my wife might kill me. I've got young kids. I like internet. But if God calls, what are you going to do? Because God's going to do what He wants. And like we said a few weeks ago at Pentecost, God wants you to come do it too. God wants you to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," not just stand there silently. Because those who are silent have already made up their minds. To not respond is to respond. This is one of those nice sermons that I don't have a nice end point. Nothing to wrap up in a little bow for you and say, "Okay, here's what you're going to do this week." Because for each and every one of us, that call will look different. And each and every one of us this week will be called in some way by God to do something. And some of us will listen, and some of us won't. And then we'll gather again. But the one thing I can say, is God doesn't stop calling. And every time you have a chance to respond again. So brothers or sisters and sisters, listen and respond and move with God. But know that grace still springs eternal. And if we fail to respond this week, we will always have another chance. That doesn't mean to just wash your hands of it if it's not convenient. It just means that God still wants you to be a part of what God's planning. So listen and respond, even when it's hard. And if you stumble, get back up and listen again. Amen.